Weber on Rosh Chodesh. It's a little late, 9:03. Stay for a minute.
I'm thinking to myself.
The topic is Baror.
You must think probably when I walk in.
Now that you mention that, a good friend of mine that we both know, whose granddaughter is having surgery today, a very serious biopsy, this morning should be with her refu in mind. Her name is Sophia Chen Bat Neta Teferet. And may she have a fortune.
Okay. This is a continuation, but a standalone shiur. Last week we did the mitzvah of matzah, and we talked about the two roles matzah plays and the two contexts in which matzah shows up. On the one hand, matzah is eaten with Karban Pesach, and so the Gemara had at least a hava mina, and we'll see it again today, that perhaps if there was no Karban Pesach, there would not be a mitzvah of matzah. But the answer is matzah also appears independently, separate from Karban Pesach. And so we understand from that even when there is no Karban Pesach, there is a mitzvah of matzah independent of Karban Pesach, which is what we have Bizman Hazeh. We noted the other interesting part of that, which is there is only a mitzvah to eat matzah on the first night at Leil HaSeder. There is no mitzvah to eat matzah for 7 days, despite the fact that the pasuk seems to say that there is. We talked about how you really have no choice to eat matzah, because if you're hungry, I mean, if you're a Sephardi, you could eat rice. But matzah really exists as the polar opposite of chametz. Basically, you know, it's a zero-sum game. You either eat matzah or you eat chametz. So we had suggested last week that sometimes eating matzah could be a kiyum of the mitzvah of not eating chametz. Because every time you eat matzah, what you're really saying is, if I had the choice, I'd be eating bread. But God commanded me, God prohibited me from eating bread. As a result, I'm eating matzah. But the fact remains that unlike sukkos, where every time you enter a sukkah, you make a bracha of Asher Kiddushan B'Sav Tzivanu Al Leishay Basuka, thank you very much.
6 months.
It's been 6 months. With respect to matzah, that's not true. Only at Leil HaSeder do we say Hashekin Shemusov Sivanu Al Achilat Matzah. Every other time, we just say Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Okay, but the bottom line is matzah exists separately from the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Now the question is, what's the status of Maror? Does Maror exist separately? Is Maror its own mitzvah min haTorah? Or does Maror exist only as a support mechanism, as a condition for the eating of Karban Pesach? This will affect whether Maror bizman hazeh is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. It will also affect how we relate to Maror, and I'll explain. Let's start with the pasuk. Source number one. The pasuk says, Va'achlu et habasar ba'layla hazeh. It's talking about eating of Karban Pesach on Leil HaSeder. So you have to eat the meat that night. Tzli eish, what's that?
Roasted.
Barbecued. Tzli eish umatzot. Okay. Al merorim yochluhu.
That's wheat? Wheat? Oh, that means wheat.
With. Yeah, there's another puzzle that makes it clearer. It's strange, but that's what the key question we have to ask ourselves is, how many mitzvot are in this pasuk? Okay, v'achlu et habasar balayla zeh. You have a mitzvah to eat the meat of a Karban Pesach that night. Tzliyesh. So tzliyesh is obviously just a condition. How do you eat the meat? You eat the meat barbecued. What about umatzot al merorim yochluhu?
You could say it's two, but it could be three.
Right. Wait, it's three or?
Two. Matzah and Maror go together.
I think it's three or one.
It could be one.
It would be hard to be two. I'll tell you why. Either Matzot and Maror are supportive of Karban Pesach, but don't exist independently, or they're independent. So to me, it's either There's a mitzvah of eating Karban Pesach. There's a mitzvah of eating matzah with your Karban Pesach. There's a mitzvah of eating maror with your Karban Pesach. Or there's just one mitzvah of eating your Karban Pesach with matzah and maror.
Unless you look at the Yachlu and the Yochluhu as two separate instructions. In which case you could say that one is is the basar,
right,
and the other is matzah umorin as a
One.
Component.
Okay, no one suggests that.
I just did.
Right. Well, that would suggest that your suggestion is wrong. But
right, I said that.
But in theory, I never thought. In theory, you're saying you could break into two groups: va'achlu karban pesach, yochlu matzah and maror. Okay. A similar idea may come up.
For the vegetarians.
Now, let's start. No, where it'll come up is when Bisman Hazeh, not because you're a vegetarian, because you can't have a Karban Pesach. Right? What's left over if you can't have a Karban Pesach? So the Gemara right away addresses this issue in source number 2. And the Gemara says as follows. It's a great Gemara. Amar Rava. Matzah bisman hazeh de'oraisa. Matzah bisman hazeh. This in 2 weeks at night, when we eat matzah, it will be a mitzvah min haTorah. Umoror derabana. But when we eat moror in 2 weeks, it will not be a mitzvah min haTorah. It will just be rabbinic. Now, where did this come from? Because they're both in the pasuk. They both seem to have the same status. Yeah, but matzah is still d'oraisa.
Yeah, but
maror is not. It'll make sense in a second. It makes sense even now. So now, the Gemara says, Umayshna maror, dichsiv al matzot umirorim. Why is maror not d'oraisa? So the answer is because it says you eat your Karban Pesach al matzot umirorim. Therefore, bizman de'ika Pesach yesh maror. Ubizman de'leka Pesach leka maror. The Gemara says definitively, maror is contingent on Karban Pesach. When there's a Karban Pesach, then there's a mitzvah to eat maror. When there's no Karban Pesach, there's no mitzvah min haTorah to eat maror.
You see that in the pasuk? I mean, it sounds like the maror is linked to the matzah. If you have to eat the matzah, then
you
eat
maror. The maror is clearly linked to Karban Pesach.
I can see that.
So is matzah.
I can see that as a condiment in that time.
Absolutely.
What?
I think that's right. Bruce, stop. Okay, third line. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, if when you look at this pasuk, both matzah and maror are just supportive of the main mitzvah of Karban Pesach, ask the Gemara in the third line. Then, matzah nami, haksiv al matzot umirorim. So matzah should also only be drabanan, because matzah has the same status as maror. Answers the Gemara, no, there's another pasuk. Matzah mihada hadar bay. Matzah is repeated separately in a different pasuk. The pasuk says, ba'erev tochlu matzah. Independent of eating the Karban Pesach, there's a separate pasuk that says, Leil HaSeder, you have a mitzvah to eat matzah. Everybody with me? Okay. So let's just review for a second. The Gemara says as follows. We have a pasuk. The pasuk says, eat Karban Pesach with matzah and maror. The question is, are those independent mitzvahs or not? Says the Gemara, yes and no. Matzah exists independently. Maror only exists when there is a Karban Pesach. Ask the Gemara, why should that be? It should be the same status for both. Answers the Gemara, yes. If this were the only pasuk, you'd be correct. But this is not the only pasuk. There's another pasuk that separately says, there is a mitzvah to eat matzah unrelated to Karban Pesach. Therefore, matzah remains a mitzvah min haTorah, even bizman hazeh. Maror only exists if there's a Karban Pesach. Okay. Now there's a conflicting shita. Fourth line. V'rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Echad zeh ve'echad zeh d'rabanan. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says no. When there's no Karban Pesach, even matzah is only drabanan. We don't paskin this way. But even matzah. Now, what's the obvious question?
I don't paskin.
No. The obvious question is, what about the pasuk that says, the pasuk says, ba'erev tochlu matzot, independent of Karban Pesach. What does he do with that pasuk? So it's very interesting. So he says, Ela Haksiv asks the Gemara, Ba'erv tochlu matzot, but there's a specific pasuk that is mechayev us to eat matzah. Answers, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Hahim mi ba'ele for something called litamei v'shahaya b'derech rechoka. What's a tamei and derech rechoka? That's a special status where you couldn't bring a Karban Pesach that day for one of two reasons. One, you're tamei, so you're not allowed to bring a Karban Pesach, or you are b'derech rechoka, you could not get to the Beis HaMikdash. By the way, that's one of the most fascinating issues, whether that halacha will change la'asid labo because of transportation. No, seriously, so there's a machlokas. You know, the general position seems to be if you're more than 15 well, they're building the light rail. It's going to eventually go. It used to be if you're more than around 15 kilometers from the Beis HaMikdash at the time of Karban Pesach, you were considered to be b'derech rechoka. I'm just raising the possibility that la'asid lavo, it could be anybody who's in Israel, will never have a pitur of derech rechoka, because you could, you know, because you could get there quickly. Again, where are you going to park? I don't know. Now, so says the Gemara, so Rav Acha b'Yaakov says, no, I need the pasuk of Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot to teach me that if I'm Tameh, or B'derech Rechoka, meaning I'm Potur from Karban Pesach, nevertheless, I'm still Chayav to eat Matzah.
So you
okay?
Matzah at home.
Huh?
It means you eat Matzah at home.
Yeah. But that's only a din in Tameh B'derech Rechoka. Means there is a Karban Pesach. It happens to be that I can't participate in the Karban Pesach. So says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, nevertheless, I still have a mitzvah to eat matzah. Not us, because we don't have a Karban Pesach. But they had a Karban Pesach, so they had a mitzvah to eat matzah. Disal kadaita chamina, end of the fourth, full line from the bottom. I might have thought, kevon de Pesach lo achli, matzah umor nami lo nechal, kamash malan. I would have thought, no Karban Pesach, because I can't do it. Therefore, no matzah and maror. The answer is no. It exists independently. V'rava amar lach, but Rava will say no. Tamei v'shahaya b'derech rechoka lo tzarech kra. That case of a person who's tamei or b'derech rechoka is too far away from the Beis HaMikdash doesn't need a pasuk. D'lo gari me'arel uben nechar. Because such a person is not worse than a person who doesn't have a bris milah, or is a guy but lives with a Jewish family. Titanya kol arel lo yochal bo. The pasuk says in arel, a person doesn't have a bris milah is not allowed to eat. It's different sheets. It's not so easy. Okay. Now I can't tell you what line. We'll see how it goes. A person who doesn't have a bris milah, a Jew who doesn't, let's say he doesn't have a bris milah for a good reason. His brothers all died. His older brothers all died from getting a bris milah, so he's prater in bris milah. So the answer is such a person cannot eat Karban Pesach. Bo eino ochel, aval ochel b'matzah maror. But he would still have an obligation to eat matzah maror. V'idach ksiv b'hai utzrich. And the other man would say, no, I don't need that separate pasuk. Again, what you have is a fascinating idea. That there is a step. We think that there's only two possibilities. Bring Karban Pesach, you don't bring Karban Pesach. Okay? If you bring Karban Pesach, then you will have a mitzvah of maror in conjunction with your Karban Pesach. If you don't bring Karban Pesach, you don't have a mitzvah of maror. The Gemara introduces a third category where you yourself are not bringing Karban Pesach, but there is a Karban Pesach. It just happens to be that you have your own exclusion that applies to you because you're Tameh. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, nowadays, everybody says, nowadays matzah is drabanan because there's no Karban Pesach. But when there was a Karban Pesach, even if you yourself could not bring Karban Pesach, you would still have a mitzvah to eat matzah min HaTorah. Okay? Now, how do we hold? What's the status of Maror Bizman Hazeh? So look in the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. It's number 3. Yeah. Says the Rambam, V'hamitzvah hanun vav, positive commandment number 56, he shet sivanu le'achol keves ha-pesach le'el chamisha asar minisan, b'tinaim hanizkarim. Mitzvah number 56 is eating the meat of Karban Pesach on Leil HaSeder. And what are the conditions to that? V'hu shiyet sali, it has to be barbecued. V'sheyochal b'bayit echad, has to be eaten in one house. V'sheyochal im matzah u'maror. V'sheyochal im matzah u'maror, it has to be eaten together with matzah u'maror. V'u amaror yitala ar posuk. V'achlu et habasar b'layla zeh, tzuliyesh u'matzot al mirorim yochlu. Okay, so the Rambam says there's one mitzvah. The mitzvah is to bring Karban Pesach and eat it together with matzah and maror. Now asks the Rambam, V'ulai yikshe alai makshe v'yomar. Maybe you'll ask the following question. Lama timne achilat Pesach matzah u'maror mitzvah achat, v'lo timne otam shalosh mitzvot. Why are you counting eating Karban Pesach with matzah and maror as one mitzvah? Why don't you count them as three separate mitzvot? V'shetihia achilat matzah mitzvah, v'achilat maror mitzvah, v'achilat Pesach mitzvah. So answers the Rambam, Oshivenu. I'll answer as follows. Amnam, it's true. Heyot achilat matzah mitzvah bifnei atzma. Hu emet. Kimoshin it ba'er. You're right. There is an independent mitzvah of eating matzah. That's a separate pasuk that we saw already. V'chein achilat ha-pesach mitzvah bifnei atzman. Eating the Karban Pesach is also an independent mitzvah. Emet. Kemosh zacharnu. Aval hamaror hu nigrar la-achilat ha-pesach ve'eino nimne mitzvah bifnei atzman. But maror really doesn't exist independently. Maror is, as Mr. Levy said before, I don't know if we can say it exactly this way, it's a condiment. Maror is eaten, you know, nobody sits down and eats chrein. If you have fish, you need chrein. It's not a mitzvah, but that's the tradition. People who don't have chrein with their fish, you know, really are not observing. But no one sits down, listen, your wife goes, I didn't make fish. I say, okay, fine, I'll have the chrein. Nobody does that. So same thing, maror doesn't exist. Maror only exists as a condiment to, or some other word, to Karban Pesach.
If you have no matzah with maror, because there was a time that they had no matzah, but maror we have plenty.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yes.
Well, Gamaliel says these three times things have to be spoken about to be to the mitzvah of Agadah, and maror is one of the three.
Right.
So it sounds like it's like should be on a higher list than just.
I have an idea. We'll get there. But now it's doing narrow halacha. Rabbi Gamliel says, Bruce is referring to. We say in the Haggadah towards the end of Maggid. Kol shelo amash shlosha dvarim melu pesach lo yotzei b'dei chovato. Who didn't say these three things? Pesach matzah mar. Now we all know we don't have a carbon pesach with zman hazeh. So the saying it doesn't imply a mitzvah of eating.
If we did reduce it. I mean, obviously, you don't have more.
If we had Karban Pesach, we would eat more. The better question is, what if you don't have maror, but you have Karban Pesach? It's bizarre. What if you had such a situation? My guess is, you're missing a critical element of the mitzvah.
Ketchup.
You're missing a critical element of the mitzvah. Yeah. Now.
Nah.
It's a spice.
Okay.
That's not the same.
Mustard.
This is what we hold. Lemaisa, we hold that maror bizman hazeh is drabanan. Now you'll ask me, we say Hashem Kishon Sub Sivano Allah for that maror at a Seder. Yes, we do that for plenty of mitzvahs that are only drabanan. We do Hashem Kishon Sub Sivano Al Mikra Megillah, Hashem Kishon Sub Sivano Lahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah,
Halel,
thank you. They're all mitzvot drabanan. So it's also true, this is interesting more philosophically than halachically, because we treat drabanans and doraisas pretty much the same. Right? Nobody says, I'm not going to do this because it's only drabanan. We treat them all the same. But philosophically, it matters very much. So, there's something we just saw. But in fact, that's what we hold. The problem is that the Gemara that we just read, the Gemara number 2, seemed to imply something different. Remember, the Gemara says, wait, what happens if you don't have a Karban Pesach? I'm sorry, what happens if you can't bring a Karban Pesach? Because you're Tamei, or b'derech rechoka. What happens then? So the Gemara says, nevertheless, you still have a mitzvah of matzah and maror because other people are bringing the Karban Pesach.
Did you have a shliach to do it?
you can have a shliach to sacrifice your Korban Pesach, you can't have a shliach to eat your Korban Pesach. Not surprisingly. Okay? So everybody asks, but how could we hold that Maror doesn't exist without Korban Pesach when the Gemara seem to imply that in this bizarre situation of where you're Tameh or Bederech Rechoka, you do have a mitzvah to eat Maror even without Korban Pesach? I thought we had said you only have a mitzvah to eat matzah independent of Maror. So there's a fascinating Meiri, it's called the Beis HaBechira. What number is it?
4
on your sheet? Okay. Who says as follows? You rarely find things like this. And don't get all excited, but get all excited. You'll see. Says the Meiri, Tamei umisha haya bederech rechoka. A person who's impure or is too far away to bring the Korban Pesach. Afal pi shehem nidchim lepesach sheni. Even though, right, it's a strange situation. Because we have a strange din of Pesach Sheni. It's the, as far as I know, it's really the only biblical makeup mitzvah that we have. I mean, it's true, there are makeup dates for things that you missed, but here you have a separate mitzvah, counted as a separate mitzvah, that if a person was impure or too far away from the Beis HaMikdash on the Yom Tov of Pesach, 1 month later, on Yud Daled Iyar,
Pesachim, we have it in plural, that counts also for Pesach Sheni.
Okay, I don't need that, I have a pasuk. I mean, it's a nice deal, but I have a pasuk. Okay?
I do the best I can.
I know you're trying.
Is it a Pesach Sheni?
You got the condiment thing. Well, just stop when you're ahead.
Is Pesach Sheni that go through all of the...
Many of them.
Not all of them.
Not all. You're allowed to have chametz in your house.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting halacha, but here... But the Meiri's tying them together. He says, a person who is Tameh B'derech Rechoka. Now, they're going to have a chance to do Pesach Sheni. Nevertheless, Chayavim Hein Berishon LeMatzah U'Maror. They still have to eat Matzah and Maror on Pesach Rishon. V'chein Yisrael Arel. Also, a person who doesn't have a Bris Milah. Afal Pi She'ein Shochatin Asah Pesach Alav. Even though he's not part of the Mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Chayavhu b'matzah u'maror. Now, the problem is, all of a sudden here, maror seems to be an independent mitzvah. We've been arguing that maror only exists as a condiment for Korban Pesach, but it turns out that this Gemara seems to say it exists independently. So listen to this. V'yesh mi shepiresh. This is the Meiri. Some want to say, she'en chayavim ela b'matzah. No. If you don't bring Korban Pesach, you're only chayav in matzah, because only matzah exists independently, not maror. Ve'afal pi shebesugya hizkir matzah u'maror. What do you do? The Gemara says that a person who doesn't bring Korban Pesach still has to eat matzah and maror. Ashigra delishnahu. The Meiri says it's not a typo, it's just the Gemara talks in a certain way, even when it doesn't mean that. Listen to this. Shahatalmud ragil lahazkir maror eitzel matzah. It's like a phrase. Matzah and maror, matzah and maror, matzah and maror. And therefore the Gemara said matzah and maror, says to me, but it didn't mean matzah and maror. It just meant matzah. Umikalmako maror ein chiyuv bo mina Torah ela eitzel ha-pesach. Maror only exists, again, as a condiment for Korban Pesach. V'zeu shamru ba'arvei pesachim kufchaf amad aleph. Maror bizman hazeh derabanan. A fascinating thing, again, just to sum up, because it's so interesting. The Meiri says, how do we conclude that Maror doesn't exist independent of Korban Pesach? The Gemara says a person who can't bring a Korban Pesach for the two regular reasons should still eat matzah and Maror. Says the Meiri, the Gemara didn't mean matzah and Maror. It meant matzah. Just, no one says matzah by themselves, they say matzah and Maror. It's, I don't know, I find this fascinating that, you know, sometimes you find people say there's a problem with the text. The Meiri doesn't think there's a problem with the text. What he has is as follows. He has a Gemara that seems to imply something against what we've concluded. And he has this idea that, you know, matzah and maror go together. Give me one more second. The real reason is matzah has its own pasuk. So of course you eat matzah independently. And I think the Meiri knew that, and he said he just doesn't think you should read the Gemara literally. Yes?
I have a question. Does the Korban Pesach... Okay.
So the answer is, technically speaking, makrivim afal pi she'en habayis banui. You could bring a Karban Pesach. I make a prediction. Okay, somebody go online on the news, like 5 or 6 o'clock on Erev Pesach in 2 weeks. There will be a news story about a guy named Baruch Marzel who was caught with a sheep in his car. Okay. For the 50th year in a row, you know, he's trying to bring a carbon up, the Paschal sacrifice on the Har HaBayis, and he gets arrested. He's not getting on there this year either. Not with his sheep, anyway. Okay? It's a big problem. Technically speaking, you could bring a carbon Pesach without the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash. And also, you know, it wasn't really shechted on the Mizbeach either. There are all these technical reasons. But it's a big discussion. All the discussions about Avoda Bizman Hazeh all start with the discussion of Karban Pesach. In the 1800s, there were tshuvos about, hey, why don't we go on the Har HaBayis and bring in Karban Pesach? When it wasn't so politically charged, there were all these discussions. And in fact, I'll tell you this, there are people, I'm not making fun of it, although I think it's funny, there are people who leave Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach. Why? So that they'll be bedarch rechoka, so that if by some chance we're really chayav to bring Karban Pesach bizman hazeh, which by the way is a chiyuv kares, if you don't do it, it's a pretty serious crime. These people, it's hard for me to take it seriously. It reminds me of a guy I knew who used to move his car in New York on Christmas, even though there's no alternate side of the street parking, it's suspended for Christmas, because he didn't want to get any pleasure from the Christmas holiday. You know, I know this guy, okay? So it's on my list of like funny chumras that people do, although there's probably more reason to leave Yerushalayim than to move your car on alternate...
If you're saying that, then you'd have to leave Yerushalayim on they'd have to bring it on 14th of Iyar.
Would they have to leave then also?
No,
they have to be bederach rechoka twice.
Yeah. Right.
Again, I'm not saying this is the right thing to do. I'm saying that Mr. Weiser's question happens to be a very good question that poskim have struggled with, you know, for hundreds of years. And it's true, we're so sure that the answer is you don't bring, and I'm sure that is the answer, but technically speaking, you don't need a Beis HaMikdash to bring Karban Pesach.
So you went to the Semantic?
I went to the Shomronim.
Shomronim.
Yeah, but I probably shouldn't have. And it was fascinating, which is when I also, okay, so when you go to the Shomronim, they bring Karban Pesach, by the way, yeah, but they have the same calendar as us, but they don't have the same leap years, so the year that we went, it was a month off, we went on like what would have been Pesach Sheni for us, right? There's only two possibilities. They either bring it on Purim. Now, I'm not going on Purim, even though I think it's funny and enjoyable. I'm not going on Purim, I'm not going on Pesach, but you could go when it's a month off in the other direction. So I'll say this, it's a pretty cool thing to watch, because it teaches you how wrong we really are. Not that they're right, but they take the lamb, they put it in a lafa, they sprinkle some relish on it, and everybody's excited to eat it, because that's what it should look like. You know, that's al matzot morim yochlu. That's what they do. When you see them doing that, you realize what a bunch of jerks we are. Like this flat, you know, there's no way. Okay, that's the minhag. That became the halacha. It happens to be, I deeply believe that became the halacha for commercial reasons, right? No, really. Because if you start baking soft matzah after Hanukkah, which is when they have to start, you know, it'll be spoiled by, you know, soft matzahs can't be stored the way hard cracker matzahs can. But, you know, that's how we've been eating it for generations until somebody tells us otherwise. I suppose that's how we'll continue eating it. Although, as we'll talk about in a minute, like the Korech sandwich, it doesn't make much sense the way we do it. I mean, yeah, you could take two matzahs and put something in it, but if you could roll the soft matzah, it's clear that that's, you know, that's what it was supposed to look like.
We're having Svardim over, we're going to bring it, so we're going to...
Okay, good.
Kind of a boat,
I'd like to try it sometime.
Oh,
again.
Okay. But there's a different answer. There's a different answer to our question of where, you know, how the Gemara talks about eating matzah and maror even without a Karban Pesach. And that's the Avnei Nezer. Anybody know the Avnei Nezer was the Sachet Shavar? He was the father or the son of the Shem Yishmuel. What makes him unique is that he was a Hasidish Rebbe who also wrote like real tshuvas. He wasn't just, you know, into the feelings. He has a lot of really famous tshuvas. Here's a piece of one of them. The Avnei Nezi says as follows: Hine L'Rava Dekai Molan Kavosei. According to Rava, who we hold like that Tamei Vishahaya B'derech Rechoka Ochel Maror Min HaTorah. That if you don't bring Korban Pesach, you still eat Maror. That's what the Gemara says. Mishum Sha'al Kol Panim Zman Pesachu Af Shehu Ein Lo Pesach. It's a strange thing. It's the time of the Korban Pesach. People are bringing Korban Pesach, even though you yourself can't. Memela, as a result, afilu lo yihiyelo gam matzah ochel maror. He says, no, that was the din. They ate maror even by itself. You just spooned it down. Kevan shehu's man matzah. Meaning the din is, there are people who are eating matzah now, there are people who are eating maror now. So you have, I'm sorry, there are people eating korban pesach now, so you have to eat maror. Ukimo shein ha pesach ma'akev, kimo kein ein ha matzah ma'akevet. Just like Korban Pesach doesn't stop you from the mitzvah of eating maror when there's a Beis HaMikdash, so too a lack of matzah doesn't stop you. Vihine, diyesh mitzvah ba'achilat maror bifnei atzmo, ubevadai ditzarich kizayit. Says the Avnei Nezer, no, there was an independent mitzvah, bizman shabeis HaMikdash hayakayim, of eating maror, and you needed the kizayis. Memela. Hu hadin bizman hazeh tiknu chachamim zecher lebizman hamikdash shehayat sarich az leachol maror af bifnei atzmo kevan shehayat az mitzvah bifnei atzmo below pesach u'matzah. The Avnei Nezer takes the exact opposite tact of the Meiri. The Meiri tried to say there was never a mitzvah to eat maror independent of Korban Pesach. Says the Avnei Nezer, no, there always was. And what's so great about the Avnei Nezer is he says that's why Chachamim made a mitzvah, a drabanan, bizman hazeh, of eating maror. Because people always ate maror, whether there was a Korban Pesach or not. People ate maror, and so Chazal didn't want us to lose that idea of eating maror. So they said, bizman hazeh, there's an independent mitzvah, drabanan, of eating maror. Okay? That's where it came from. You always have to ask yourself, like, where did Chazal get the idea for a mitzvah? Chazal aren't allowed to just make stuff up. I guess they are allowed to make stuff up, but they have to make stuff up based on stuff that already existed. So the Gemara talks about how they made up Hanukkah and how they made up Megillah. Here the Avnei Nezer says, they didn't really make up Maror. Maror existed. Whenever there was a Korban Pesach, there was a mitzvah to eat Maror. So says the Avnei Nezer, Chazal came along later and said, you know what, we don't want to lose out. It's bad enough that we don't have a Korban Pesach. We can't lose, so we lose out on that. But let's not lose out on the mitzvah of Maror, so they made it as an independent mitzvah. Now, why didn't Chazal also make a mitzvah d'rabbanan bizman hazeh of Korban Pesach?
We have to have the ability to do it.
Because they can't. Right. They can't because they're limited, although we think they could do anything. They could have made, who here eats, you know, barbecue at their Seder? Nobody. Because everybody knows it's usher to have barbecue at your Seder. Why? Because it might look like Korban Pesach, and it would be kachim bachutz, right? It would look like you're bringing a korban outside of Yushalayim, so we don't barbecue anything. We don't barbecue chicken, we don't barbecue meat, nothing. It could have been the opposite, right? What if Chazal came along and said, you have to have a barbecue for your Seder, because there will be Zecher LeKarban Pesach.
Yeah, we could
have. Huh? Well, it could have, except Chazal have to play by certain rules. And we're very, very worried about the idea of Kachim Bachutz. You're not allowed to have sanctified meat outside of Yerushalayim. You're certainly not allowed to eat sanctified meat outside of Yerushalayim. So Chazal, I don't believe, ever had the option of a fake Karban Pesach. And once there was no option of a fake Karban Pesach, they prohibited us from even eating other meat, because somebody might come to think, right? It's funny, like the things that they could recreate, they recreate. Maror, they recreated. Things that they can't recreate, not only don't they recreate, they prohibit completely. It's an interesting thing. It comes up more often than you would think. When you give Machtes HaShekel, when you gave it 2 weeks ago, You're supposed to say Zeicher l'machtes hashekel. Why? Because if you say Harezeh machtes hashekel, your money can't be used. Because you sanctified your money, can only be used for the Beis HaMikdash. We have to be very careful. So Maror doesn't run the risk. There's no such thing as sanctified Maror. There's no such thing as sanctified Matzah. But Karban Pesach is Kudshin. And as a result of which, Chazal were limited in what they could do with Karban Pesach. Now, if Karban Pesach is just, I'm sorry, if Maror is just a Zecher, how much Maror should you have to eat?
Yeah.
I'll say it again so that you'll give me the answer I want. Not the correct answer. Yeah, if it's just a Zecher, just a remembrance. So, like people who, some people do Mayim Achronim, you know, the little thing just on their fingers. It's not cleaning anything. It's a Zecher to when they, you know.
The whole idea of Mayim Achronim is to the salt.
Well, you must have either very tiny fingers or you don't use that little thing. Okay? Now.
We don't have the minhag at all.
Okay, good for you.
Mayim Achronim.
Good for you, but you don't wait between meat and milk.
3 hours.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Dutch wait 1 hour.
No, move. All right. Now,
where I am.
How much do you have to eat of maror? So it's a stupid question. Everybody said kizayis. The Mishnah says ve'elu yirakot shadam yotzei b'amidei chovato b'pesach. These are the things you can use for maror. Chazeret tam chachurban aul shin maror. They're all different types of leafy things. And the Mishnah says umitztarfin lekizayis, and all of them together add up to a kizayit. What's a kizayit? The answer is, a kizayit is the definition of achila for everything in halacha. Anytime the Torah or the Chachamim make you eat something, there's a mitzvah of eating, you have to eat a kizayit. That's the definition of achila. It works in two directions. It also works for things you're not allowed to eat. Min haTorah, you're not allowed to eat meat and milk. But you're only chayv if you ate a kizayit. Right? You're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. But you're only chayv if you ate a kizayis. That's the standard definition of eating. And by the way, it makes a lot of sense. You have to have a minimum. You have to have a minimum because, you know, you swallow saliva. Oh my God, does that mean I drank? You know, something's in you. I'll tell you, one Yom Kippur, I'm sorry if this is disgusting, it's not really. Yeah. I was davening for the shachris for the amud on Yom Kippur morning. In the middle of Kedusha, saw like a little piece of chicken dislodged from behind my teeth. And I was like, oh my God, I just ate. I'm the chazan. Like, this is horrible. This is not eating, because you have to really eat. So now look at the rush.
Of course,
yeah, quick.
If you have a wheat allergy and you're not going to die over it, but you're uncomfortable eating wheat, it makes you a little bit unwell, would you still have to eat the regular matzah if there's no other option?
There's spelt matzah.
Right.
No,
we once had a say to us people, it's, you know how expensive that stuff is?
You don't have it. It's not on the table.
I don't know. Listen, you never have to put your health at risk for a mitzvah. You have to ask somebody if the question is a stomach ache or not.
Yeah.
Listen, I've never ever finished a Seder without a stomach ache. I don't drink wine normally, so the wine, you know, and you eat, you know, mass. I'm just saying, it's going to be a question of discomfort versus real illness. What does the Rush say? The Rush says, Mishum demivorech al achilat maror, tzarich sheyochal kizayit. Since you make a bracha of al achilat maror, you have to eat a kizayit. De'ein achila bepachot mikizayit, because there is no such thing as eating min haTorah in an amount less than a kizayit. Everybody see what he says? What does the rush hold? How much do you have to eat? Why?
Because that's the definition.
No, because that's the bracha. Everybody says the following in the rush. It sounds like the Rush doesn't really think you have to eat a kizayis because it's just a zecher la. But since Chazal established a bracha, asher kidisham sof zivano al achilat maror, that's mechayiv you to eat a kizayis. Yes. Excellent. So go on. Aval biyirakot, with respect to karpas at the beginning of the meal, biyirakot harishonot shemivarech alehen borei pri ha'adama. Be'alma, you don't say Asher Kishom Sobzvonu Al Achilat Karpas. You say Borei Pri Adama. Ve'ein Mazkirin Aleim Achila Ein Tzarich Mehem Kizayit. Right? What's the shear? See, I was wrong before. What's the minimum amount that you eat that's mechayev you in a shahakol or a mizonos or bari priya eitz or adama? No. Anything. If you take a sip of water, you know, and you want to drink it, you have to say it a bracha. You take a tiny sliver of keg, you a tiny piece of apple. Bracha achrona needs a shir. Bracha rishona doesn't. So says the Rush, and says Mr. Weiser, there's two things going on at the Seder, and you could see it clearly. When you're not making a bracha of al achilat karpas, because there's no such bracha, so you don't have to eat a kizayis. Now, just a separate issue.
You make a bracha by the Pri Adama.
Good. So every time you make a bracha by Pri Adama, you're makbid to finish your apples so you can make a bar in the fashos? No, you eat as much as you want to eat. Now, that's an interesting issue because some people say you're not allowed to eat more than a kizayis of karpas. Why? Because they want your bracha.
The cost. The cost should be, you're not allowed to drink a rough cost.
You have to drink a rough cost.
That cost, yeah, but why? Because they can make enough. I mean to say, the reason is because you know
the problem is as follows: if you ate more than a kizayis, you might have to make a bar in
the
fashos.
Now, that's
the argument. That's the argument. Now, if you make a bar b'ha adama, then you would have to make. Well, I'm sorry. If you make a bar in the fashos, now you finish with that eating, and when it comes time to eat the maror, you would have to maybe make a bar priha adama, and then an achilas maror, which we don't want to do. So our minhag became. I think it's wrong, but our minhag became. That when you make the bracha bar priya adama on your karpas, have in mind to cover the maror later. Try not to eat more than a kizayis, because if you ate more than a kizayis, you'd have to make a bar in the fashos. I'm with Mr. Weiser. I think the older I get, the more I see things. You could have your karpas as part of the meal, even though the meal isn't going to be eaten for another hour. You're at the table. You're all doing it together. Let's face it, you're hungry.
You're hungry.
We're going to knock down a couple of potatoes, for God's sakes. Otherwise, you'll never make it through Magid.
Whatever.
You eat more than a kizayis.
He wants his carpets.
I'm pretty sure that La'achar Me'ev Esrim, when I go up to Shamayim, they're not going to nail me on the I ate more than a kizayis of karpas at the Seder. If that's the thing they get me on, I'm in pretty good shape.
Why don't you make aloha lagefa?
Because it's part of the meal.
We don't.
Part of the meal. So it's part of the meal.
Good. I agree. Okay, now.
We don't say getting nailed at both.
Now, Bruce, when I need your help, I'll call on you. Okay, now. So you have these two different ideas. You have these two different ideas of how much maror you have to eat. Either maror is just a zecher, in which case you don't have to eat a kizayis, or maror is a mitzvah of achila, in which case you have to eat a kizayis. Now you'll say it doesn't matter because we make it, no matter how you hold, we say Asher Kishem Sosvino al achilat maror. So of course you have to eat a kizayis of maror. The answer is no. There is one time at the Seder that we eat maror without a bracha, and that's called Korech. Korech does not have a bracha. So some people want to claim it's Zeicher LeMikdash KeHillel, right? Kein Asa Hillel Bizman Shabbes HaMikdash HaYakayim Haya Korech Matzo Mor Biyachat. It's not really true. Haya Korech Pesach Matzo Mor. But we don't have that anymore. Which raises the other interesting question. Did Hillel eat matzah independent of Korban Pesach at all? You know, the way we do it, we eat matzah, then we eat maror, then we have a sandwich, then after the Seder, you know, when you can't eat another bite, we go, oh, we'll have the mitzvah of afikoman. The least pleasant mitzvah in the history of Judaism is trying to eat a kizayis after you've done all those other things. When you're a kid, you look forward to kizayis. A, it also costs you money, now that I'm a father, right? To get it back, you got to pay, and you don't want to eat it anyway. Because at that point, all you want it anyway. Fine. So, it could be the nafkamina. We hold lahalacha, it's true. Lahalacha, we hold that you're supposed to eat a kizayis of maror with your korech sandwich. But if you take this literally, that the Rush thinks it's just a zecher, then perhaps you wouldn't have to. Now, final thought in terms of the importance of maror and the role it plays in our Seder. And to do that, last source. This is a Yerushalmi, but I think it'll show something very interesting. The Yerushalmi is about to tell us what you ask in Manishtana. Something we all know, so I'll read it quickly. V'kan haben shoel. Here's where the child asks. Im ein dat beven lishol aviv melamdo manishtana halay lazem mikol elam. Okay, if the kid doesn't know on his own, so the father teaches him how to say manishtana. What are the questions? Shebichol halaylot anu matbilim pa'amachat v'halay lazeh shtei pa'amim. Great. Shebichol halaylot anu ochlim chameitzu matzah halay lazeh kulo matzah. Great. Shebichol halaylot anu ochlim basar tzali shaluku muvushal. That's what they used to ask. Every night we eat roasted and fried and cooked and baked, whatever. Tonight we just eat barbecue. This is it. I didn't edit it in any way. What's missing?
Maror.
Maror wasn't asked as a question in the Yerushalmi. Means in the Gemara written in Israel, Maror wasn't asked. Why not? Probably because Maror wasn't important. Again, it really could be that in the old days, what does Mara signify to us?
Bitterness,
right? And it makes complete sense. So we claim, and there's nothing wrong with this, you know, we claim it reminds us of the parts of the Exodus that weren't so great. But it seems to me, and I'm speculating, but it seems to me that in the old days, when they came to the land of Israel, and they had a Beis HaMikdash, it was a pretty joyous thing.
They were dancing in the street.
And so they sprinkled some maror on that Karban Pesach. But even there, the maror served more as relish than it served as what we have. Nobody thinks it was an independent mitzvah that people sat down and ate maror, an extremely unpleasant experience. Maror, like mustard, like other sharp spices, right? If you had people who love mustard, I don't think sit down with a spoon, you know, with the Gulden's thing or the great poupon and just shovel it into their mouth so they have a kizayis. Nobody would do that. Well, no, but I think what happens is as follows. The role of maror changed. Again, starting with this Yerushalmi, which didn't even ask about maror because it wasn't a big deal. Again, I think when I put chrein on my fish, so people know there was a fish course. They don't focus so much on what you put on the fish. People know there was a soup course. They don't really say there was croutons, there weren't croutons, there was salt and pepper, there wasn't. It was a soup course. It was a fish course. It was Karban Pesach that was wrapped up in a lafa. Oh yeah, and there was some relish on top. Because it wasn't a big part of it. It strikes me, based on the Avnei Nezer, that Chazal in Bavel basically saw the Seder as a night to recall the Exodus, of course. But you know, no one said Lashana Haba B'Yushalayim when they lived in Yerushalayim and there was a Beis HaMikdash. The tone of the Seder changed a little bit. And the role of Maror changed a little bit also. And Maror, and you have references to this, and I don't think we ever get through our Seder, for whatever reason, without some reference, some conversation about the Holocaust. I have to say, it just happens every year, not because there's a plan to do it. I think we Jews, you know, we're much more sensitive to the exile. We all grew up in the exile, and maybe even though we're in Israel now, we're certainly not where we're supposed to be. I think it's okay that the same framework has different emphases based on the historical cycle that you're in. And I think that Chazal, when you think about it, they didn't just perpetuate the eating of maror. They made it a bigger part of the Seder than it ever was before. That's my claim. No one ever said a mitzvah, a bracha of Asher Kishom Sobzivanu al achilat maror. Chazal made up that bracha. And I think they made it up to recall, you know, the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but also to remind us that we're not where we're supposed to be. There's always this tension between Zecher LeMikdash and Zecher LeChurban. There are things that we do. You know, we take a lulav all 7 days of Sukkos. Why? Zecher LeMikdash. It's not a sad thing. It's a happy thing. Right? At a wedding, you know, we put ashes on a forehead. That's not a happy thing. That's a sad thing. We play with the times and the places in which we recall the Beis HaMikdash happily, and we recall the Beis HaMikdash, you know, sadly, as if there was something terrible happened. And I think that at the Seder, that's what's going on. At the Seder, we have, you know, it used to be that it was so overwhelmingly happy that Chazal said, sprinkle some maror on, So you'll remember that there was a time where it wasn't all complete happiness. And I think now there's much more of a focus on Maror because our relationship to the Seder has changed a little bit. And I also think, this is complete speculation, but we always talk about, it comes up a lot in the Mishnah and later on, Mirorim. Mirorim, plural. I think Mirorim implies different exiles, different sad things we've gone through. And, you know, our job is to find a way to keep the Seder joyous and to keep the idea that we're supposed to actually feel as if we left Egypt. But you can't ignore, you know, the surroundings that you're in, and you can't ignore what you don't have that you used to have. And I think Maror is supposed to play that role. And just like in the old days, it was clear. How did they eat Korban Pesach? Behaseba. Right? That was the idea. On a couch, you know, how do we eat Maror? Sitting straight up. There never was, right? You're not supposed to do Haseba when you do Maror, and everybody knows why. Because Maror is Zecher Laoni, to the sad parts. But there never was such a mitzvah before. Chazal made it up. They built it off of what had pre-existed because the role of Maror changed. And I think, you know, the trick for us at the Seder is to find a way for it to be overwhelmingly joyous with moments of and with reminders of what we do have, what we don't have. I think our family Seder is different now than it was in Teaneck. I think it should be. First of all, we only have half as many Seders as we used to, a pretty good thing. But it's, you know, you're, if you take this stuff seriously, if you just read what's in the book, it's the same every year. But I think there are years where the Jewish people are doing better, and I think everybody kind of feels emotionally different about, you know, the year there was a bombing in Netanya, you know, like, okay, so people didn't find that afterwards, but if you were there, you know, it would be impossible for your Seder to be the same. And I don't think Chazal want that of us. I don't think God wants that of us. I think, you know, you have to keep the framework. The trick to being Orthodox is keeping the framework that we have, but finding ways in the margins or even in the middle of the page to, you know, to reflect on where we are. And I think that what Chazal did, you know, in the real exile, the first time they're sitting in Bavel, the first Seder, that they're not in Yerushalayim. Right? There had never been a Seder in the history of the world. There had never been a Jew who made a Seder outside of the land of Israel. From the time that Yehoshua brought us in until Nebuchadnezzar kicked us out. And now, I don't know when the mitzvah came to be, but the first year they were singing Bavel, they're all like singing and clapping and happy that God... It had to be reflected somehow. I know like it sounds irreligious, but it's the fact. It had to be reflected. And slowly these things became reflected. I think Halach Ma'anya, which is a little sadder, that's said in Aramaic. That was clearly never even said in Israel. That's a later addition. You know, Kol Shalom HaShlosh HaDvarim Eilu B'Pesach was said
When was the Haggadah written?
No one, over time. I mean, the Mishnah says already, Maslo B'Yuzim Sayim B'Shvach, parts are exceptionally old. But then you have Machlokis Amorim about what's the Gnus and what's the Shvach.
Right.
It's clearly the case that the Haggadah developed over a course of hundreds of years. I just got a Harry Potter Haggadah. Okay, you know. I think that's pretty recent.
Hogwarts. It's a Hogwarts.
Yeah, what can I say?
Hogwarts.
Yeah, okay, I'm pretty sure that my grandparents didn't have a Harry Potter Haggadah. Now, I'm going to try not to make it dominate the Seder, but it'll be fun at some point. Again, I think the Seder has to be connected to where we are. Yeah, I remember thinking, people used to do, when I was a little kid, you were supposed to leave a seat open for like Soviet Jews, right? Then they got out, and then you needed a seat for Jonathan Pollard. You know, then this, you know, huh?
You still do it.
He has his own seat, but he can't come to your seat because he's on the house arrest. All I'm saying is, I used, like, there are different times in my life where I felt like, don't mess up the Seder with these things. And now I think, no, probably you're supposed to do that. I don't really know. The trick is getting the balance. I think that is represented by Maror. That's the point I wanted to make. Everybody, I could be here next week. So that's the next week. Everybody, have a great week.
Thank you, Weber.